From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in October of 2010 at several Rochester intersections. That's when the city rolled out its red light program, which I was going to say has been wildly unpopular, but I've been hearing from people today, upon finding out it's going to be canceled, that it's more popular with some drivers than you might think, and it certainly has been controversial. At the time, city leaders said the red light cameras could reduce accidents and prevent injuries. Now, critics have attacked it right from the beginning, calling it unconstitutional or unlawful or a money grab. And there was a growing body of evidence early on that the red light cameras were hurting people in impoverished neighborhoods in ways that could spiral for them. But Rochester kept and expanded the red light program over the past 6 years. And earlier this year, the city administration released a study of the red light cameras. City engineer Jim McIntosh said that the city was seeing a reduction in crashes. In other words, the cameras were working in many ways as promised at the beginning. And there was no talk at the time of removing them. So what's changed? Well, we heard from Mayor Lovely Warren days ago that the city is changing its mind on this. The cameras are going to be removed at the end of the year, and they were having a disproportionate impact on people in poorer neighborhoods. And the mayor says that is a serious problem. So that means 48 cameras at 32 intersections are going to be gone. No more $50 fines or trying to figure out which intersections have them. Let's talk about what that means this hour with my guests. And the mayor is kind enough with her time to be here for the first half hour. Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren, nice to see you.
Well, nice to see you as well. Thank you for having me come in, Evan. And I want to make a clarification.
Oh, sure.
Actually, this legislation is going before City Council,
okay,
and they would have to vote on it. So
I was getting ahead of myself.
Okay,
so it's possible the council will decide to keep them. What do you expect?
I don't know. You have nine voices on City Council, and they will do their due diligence as I have done, and
okay,
they will make a decision on whether this program continues or not.
Okay, do you get the sense that they will agree with you to scrap it?
I know that there are some members that definitely understand. And as we have reviewed this for the last almost year and a half, the red light camera program, there are some that definitely will agree.
Okay. Eamon Scanlon's here as well. He's the lead education organizer for Metro Justice and with the Alliance for Quality Education. Eamon, thank you for coming in as well.
Thanks for having me, Evan. And I just want to say I'm very happy that this program is ending. I got one of those tickets. So I would like to thank the mayor.
That's a bad reason, by the way, for being happy. That's a very self-serving reason.
Self-interest is a perfectly legitimate reason to do anything in life. So.
Okay. Well, listen, you're looking at someone who's gotten a red light camera ticket or a fine, but I try to base my views on this on the broader evidence. So let me ask the mayor to tell us a little bit more about your feelings on this. And I think the reason some people were surprised, Mayor Warren, was, you know, you go back to May, what Jim McIntosh had said and that study compared to now and kind of trying to figure out what's changed.
Well, I think that for the year and a half, we have really looked at this program. The city engineer did a thorough review, and there was a study that came out that showed that there were some intersections where crashes were reduced. There were some intersections where they stayed the same, and there were some intersections where accidents had actually increased. And so we looked at that, and we said, okay, well, we need more information. So we did another study that went more in depth and basically said the same thing, that there are some intersections where crashes went down. There are some where it stayed the same. There are some where it increased. And so then we started to say, okay, well, let's look at this a little bit further. Who does it impact these tickets? And we started to hear from not only our judges, but also residents that that received some boots on their cars and other things, and started to look at the poverty situation in the city of Rochester. And when you actually looked at where the tickets were allocated and it's who they were allocated to, there was a disproportionate impact on people that are impoverished and have no disposable income whatsoever. And so a $50 ticket is something that is catastrophic. And so they put, you know, okay, I know I need to pay this, but I have daycare, I have RG&E, mm-hmm. I have food to purchase. And so we are impacting them in another way. And for a program that in some ways helped, in other ways didn't help, in other ways it got worse. And so what's the justification in doing that when it disproportionately affects so many people that can least afford it? And you cannot say definitively 100% that it actually reduces accidents across the board. And so we did an extensive review of this. So we talked to our our legal counsel as well as our city engineers and our police department about this. And it took us some time. You know, for me, I've been asked by the media several times over the last year, what's going on with the red light camera program? We're doing a review. And that has been my response because I knew that we needed to go a little bit deeper in this. And by doing that, the best thing for us to do was to end the program, to put it before city council to discontinue the program.
Okay. And I've had a number of comments from listeners that are similar to the one I'm about to read. This is an email from a listener named Jim. He writes, Evan, laws are laws, rules are rules. I don't want to see anyone get hurt, but I also think that everyone should have to follow the law. If you don't want to get a ticket you can't afford, then don't run a red light.
Well, absolutely. And so that's one of the issues that of concern, of course, to many people. We're not saying, oh, it's okay for you to run a red light. What we're saying is that this is one tool in a toolbox. And one of our biggest issues is that our police department are going to definitely step up traffic enforcement and other things like that and provide the traffic enforcement. This is one way to make sure that people, quote unquote, follow the rule. The other issue that we had here was that this is a ticket that's attached to the car. We had many of our senior citizens that children or, spouses were using the vehicles and they got a ticket. And here you have someone that's on Social Security, someone that might not have known that they had gotten a ticket. When the ticket came to the house, somebody hit it, so, well, I'll pay it. And then all of a sudden, they have $700 in fines racked up, but because the car is registered to them, they're the ones that are being impacted by it. And so the ticket was attached to the vehicle and not necessarily the driver. Whereas when a police officer gives a ticket, the ticket is actually attached to the driver who is operating that vehicle at the time and not the vehicle itself. And so we had many situations and many calls from senior citizens and parents that had been impacted by this, and they were stuck paying the bill for a ticket that they didn't actually, they weren't the ones that were driving.
Okay. And I want to sort of lay out a little history that is not, I'm not drawing a direct parallel here, but in recent years we've seen a lot of evidence come out in places like Ferguson. Rochester's not Ferguson, but the DOJ wanted to look at possible racism in Ferguson pre-Michael Brown, going back years. Yes, they found racist emails among people involved in city business, but they also found that in some cities, when you have people in poorer neighborhoods who end up with, maybe you're pulled over for a light out in your car or things like that, that one ticket or that one fine can lead to losing your license, can't get to work, losing a job, and it spirals. Is that essentially what concerns you?
Absolutely, across the board. One of the issues and one of the things that we're looking at right now is trying to get a City of Rochester Traffic Enforcement Bureau because of the fact that if you currently get a ticket by a state trooper or officer or a traffic violation ticket, in one of our towns, you can go and appear before a judge and you can actually get that ticket reduced. If you get that same ticket in the City of Rochester and you appear and go to the New York State Traffic Bureau, there's no way that they can reduce that ticket. That means that you have to pay that fine. And so when you don't have any disposable income and you go before the judge, and our judges are the ones that's calling us on this and saying, look, our hands are tied. I can only give this person 15 days in jail or they have to pay the fine and they know or and their license is suspended. It's a law that's applied across the board equally. However, when it's applied, it disproportionately affects a segment of our community that we have to pay attention to. If you say that if you get the same ticket out in the town of Henrietta or Gates or somewhere else, and you are able to go before a judge and get that reduced. But if you get that same ticket in the City of Rochester and you can't get that reduced, you have to pay 100% of that fine. It's not fair, but that's what's happening today. And we are also disproportionately affecting people that live in the City of Rochester because none of our towns have red light cameras. It's only in the City of Rochester that you have the red light cameras. And so we're disproportionately affecting those individuals again. And that's not right. And when you see it, you can either accept it and say, oh, it's okay because it's the City of Rochester, or you can do something about it. And here I'm choosing to do something about it.
Okay. Eamon Scanlon, I know your organization has been making similar arguments that you just heard from the mayor for a while now. What do you make of what you're hearing?
No, I agree completely. And I think you have to put it in a bigger context of how revenue is generated, much like the Ferguson report showed, on the backs of the poorest citizens in cities, on the backs of people of color. I would bring up institutional racism and the way that we are generating revenue to those who have been systematically disempowered. If you go around the city, even, you know, Mayor Warren brought up that they're only in the city, but they're also only in certain parts of the city. And I have worked close to them because as a community organizer, I work in some of the poorest neighborhoods in the city. Like, there was one that I always passed when our office used to be on West Avenue, the one at West and Ames. And now we're at the one near the Hungerford building where North Goodman and Main Street is. But you don't see them on, you know, Monroe Avenue. You don't see them as much on the southern part of the city that is a little bit wealthier. So there's even a disparity in terms of where these cameras go just within the city, which is very telling. There is a great story. I'm going to call this person Mike, who I've known for many years. And he has $2,700 in tickets and fines. And so his license was suspended. He basically has had to fight for trying to get a good job because, you know, if he wants to drive, he has to drive essentially illegally. And if he wants to rent a car, which is he can't afford to buy a car, he has to go through these sort of car sharks. And there are places in the city I won't name where you can still get access to vehicles, but you end up basically spending all your paycheck on that vehicle for what is usually a lemon. So there's these trickle effects that happen just by getting over-ticketed. And it often leads to that cycle of poverty. And I could speak to a lot of those examples that you brought up.
But let me just kind of key in on a word you used, because I'm not exactly clear on what you meant. And I want to know if the mayor thinks it's fair. You said the location of the red light cameras you thought is, quote, telling.
Yes.
Telling what?
It's telling that these cameras, when they were set up, were put in neighborhoods where I think they thought they would get the least pushback. And so it's communities that have been traditionally disempowered that are then put upon further to have places where the money would be extracted. That's the reason you don't see these in Pittsford or in some of the wealthier areas of the city, because those residents would go crazy. They would be like, get this thing out of here.
All right, well, let's ask the mayor if she thinks that's fair. Do you think that's fair?
No. Well, you know, I was on city council when the red light camera program came in, and a lot of people think that this was for revenue. And, you know, the mayor at the time, it wasn't about revenue. It was about safety. And it continued to be about safety throughout the 6 years that this program was implemented. It wasn't until year five that we started to look at and say, okay, well, we have enough data. We have enough information. Let's evaluate rather this program really reduce safety at all of these intersections. And if you look at the intersections that the cameras were actually were placed at, they were the intersections where we had the most accidents and the most T-bone accidents and things like that. So they were strategically placed in areas where we wanted to, where we saw a significant number of crashes, and we wanted to reduce the crashes that were happening in those areas. And so we have the data to basically support the placement and why they were placed there.
Okay.
And as we talk about why they're not actually out in the surrounding areas of the city of Rochester or the suburban areas, it's because that legally they don't have the authority to actually implement a red light camera program. This authority was given by the state of New York, and it is given to, I believe, only the big five cities to actually implement this particular program.
Okay. So does that convince you on the placement there?
I'm not really. I mean, I understand the argument, but I think that it's a convenient one, and it sort of the what is actually happening is what we have to be with. And where are these cameras? They're in these poorest neighborhoods. And I think that's actually why one of the reasons the mayor has decided to end this program is because that is where it's affecting those communities.
Okay, so there's agreement there. This is an argument that we heard from your organization sort of from the beginning. So Mayor Warren, 6 months ago when we saw the study, or at least I think in May, from the city released, did you know at the time the concern that there was a disproportionate impact on poorer neighborhoods?
Well, we suspect it. And so at the end of the day, when we look at If you're in this program, are you making your community unsafer? And so when you put the program in place, it is for the safety of the community to reduce accidents, to reduce everything. And then as you start to evaluate the program, and we did an extensive evaluation in year five, and that report came out. And the reason why we did another study is to say, okay, well, we hear the information that's here, and we see that it's being reduced in some places, it's staying the same some places, and it's increasing in other places. Why is that the case? And so you do another study to sort of go in depth. Okay, now when it comes back and it tells you the same thing that you know, okay, well, what is the overall benefits to this program? If it's not technically, you can't definitively 100% say that the Red Light Camera Program reduces accidents in all of these particular intersections where you have them, then what's the justification of the program, especially when it disproportionately affects people that are in your poorest neighborhoods that have no disposable income whatsoever to be able to pay these tickets. On top of that, you have a situation where you have many of those individuals on fixed income, Social Security, and other things that have family members that are driving their cars and getting these tickets, and they're responsible for them. And so there's a trickle down effect that you don't you didn't see in the beginning of the program. And when you recognize it and you realize it, then you have to reevaluate and you have to say, well, is the effects worth the revenue that you're receiving, or and can you justify continuing this program given the information that you have today? And to me, I could not justify it given the information I have today.
Okay, let me grab a phone call. Phones are lit up, and the mayor is, her time is short. She's got to be out at the half hour mark, and we're going to be joined by City Councilman Adam McFadden for the second half hour. Paul in Rochester has a question about the money side of it. Go ahead, Paul.
I'll take it off the air, the answer, but I'm just wondering what it took to implement this whole system of cameras and how much they spent to install it all and how much they made off of it, if she knows, in total from tickets and revenue. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Paul. So how much money are you going to have to make up in the budget? I mean, is this an annual $1 million, $500,000, $2 million?
So this program was cost neutral. So it did not, so the program paid for itself.
But it didn't make money for the
So we got a fee after the installer got their money. The program overall, I believe there was about $3 million worth of tickets. Out of that $3 million, the city would receive between $800,000 to $1 million a year in revenue.
Okay, so how are you going to make up that lost revenue then?
Well, we would have to look at our budget, and but at the end of the day, you have to realize that you're taxing the people that are most that cannot afford to pay this at all, and recognize that there may be some tough choices that we have to make, and we'll evaluate that as we go into the next budget season.
All right. Mary Jo says, as a resident of the city of Rochester, I'm opposed to the mayor's plan to eliminate the red light camera program. If anything, it should be expanded to include more intersections. Vehicles who run red lights are a danger not only to other motorists, but to bicyclists and pedestrians. I've personally witnessed numerous vehicles running red lights, especially at the intersection of Highland and South, which is my neighborhood. That's from Mary Jo. And I'm seeing a number of this. Here is
and
one.
And I understand. I mean, we want a city that's bicycle friendly, where people can walk, where people can, really pedestrian friendly city. And you have many of our neighborhoods that are like that. And, you know, right now, those intersections where you have that walkable sort of pedestrian-friendly neighborhood, a lot of these red light camera tickets are not, red light camera intersections are not in those neighborhoods right at this moment. I think that we have to make sure that our police department is doing traffic enforcement, and we're going to do that. Again, I recognize the residents' concerns. Just just as many people that do not like the fact that we're ending this program. There's a lot of people that like the fact that we're ending the program. At the end of the day, I have to make a recommendation based off the data and the information that I have. And at this point in time, I could not justify basically solely for safety concerns when in some of these intersections, there were more accidents in other intersections, they stayed the same, and in some, they were decreased. And so if my sole basis or if our sole basis at the time of implementing this program was for safety and we could not 100% defend that, then I think that I am doing a disservice to the citizens of the city if I do not end this program based upon that data and information that I have.
All right. Thanks, Mary Jo. Steve writes and says, Evan, here's my concern. I think the mayor is absolutely right, but the reasons she's giving are reasons we knew years ago. My concern is that this is timed for a reelection bid and that after she's reelected, we could see the red light cameras come back. Steve, I don't even know if the mayor's running for re-election. Do you want to break any news here?
I'll talk about re-election when the time comes, and I think that this person is mistaken because this is something that we've been studying for over a year. I am not going to come out and not have the proper information and the proper data and make a determination without studying something completely. And the fact of the matter was this program ends on December 31st because that's when the contract ends. Mm-hmm. Actually, it would cost the city more money. It would have cost our citizens more money for us to end this 6 months ago or a year ago. I didn't set the contract period. This is a contract period that had been set over, I believe, 3 years ago or when we originally went into this program 6 years ago. And so, therefore, that was the we have to weigh all of that when we're considering ending the program, because at the end of the day, if we would have ended this program before the contract period ended, we would have had to pay the manufacturer and the installers a significant amount of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars to end this program. And so based off the information that I have and based on when's the best time to end this contract, being an attorney, the best time to end a contract is at the end of that contract instead of renewing it. And so people should have the proper information before they make assumptions.
Okay. And Steve, I wouldn't think if this is a program that's ended that you're going to see it brought back anytime soon. My guess is city council and the mayor's office, whoever's in the mayor's office, are going to make a decision on this, and you're probably not going to see it back in a year or two. But Mayor Warren, again, I think to put a fine point on it, this has nothing to do with a possible reelection run.
Absolutely not. This is about what is best for the citizens based on the information that we had and the data that was provided to us over a year and a half long study and on when it's best to end the contract with the particular with Redflex, who's the particular providers of these contracts. And that's the basis for ending this program when we did. I can tell you that over a year ago, I was asked by many media outlets, what's going on with the program? And I have always, if you go back and you study, we're studying, we're looking at it, we're reviewing it. And that's because before I made a determination to continue or to conclude the program, I wanted to have the proper information.
Do you expect to run for reelection?
I'll talk about reelection when it's the right time to talk about reelection. We as a community and as a country just got over a significant election here with our presidential elections, and I'll talk about it when it's time to talk about it.
Next month? End of this month? February?
I'll let you know.
Okay. All right. So you're not going to break any news here. The mayor has to go, and we always appreciate your time here on the program. Thank you for coming in, answering our questions and listener questions. Come back anytime, and we'll see you soon, we hope.
Absolutely.
And City Councilman Adam McFadden is going to come in. Eamon Scanlon is going to stay with us. All the phone lines are lit up. We're going to take more of your phone calls as well as we discuss the city's decision. And I, to kind of cap what the mayor is saying, Mayor Warren wants the red light cameras gone. City Council will make that decision, and if they do, it'll be at the end of this year. Let's get that only break of the hour and come right back here.
Thank you.
I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on the Next Connections, the show is live on the road. We are broadcasting from the Little Theater both hours as we wrap up our series on the lack of teacher diversity in local school districts. It's been our year-long investigation on WXXI News all week. Our panelists both hours will discuss their views on the subject, and you can join the audience live. It's free. Hope to see you at the Little Theater. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our thanks to Mayor Lovely Warren for her time in our first staff hour. Eamon Scanlon remains with us, the lead education organizer for Metro Justice and the Alliance for Quality Education. And Adam McFadden is a Rochester City Councilman who is in studio with us, and it's always nice to see you, Adam. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the mayor says she wants to reiterate the point. We get ahead of ourselves when we say the red light program is scrapped. She said City Council has to finalize that
That's
decision.
Right.
What do you expect to happen?
I don't know.
You can't get a sense of it yet?
I haven't polled anyone.
Okay.
And I know that three of us have been against it for a little while now, and I'm one of the three. I initially voted for the pilot when we first announced this, and my basis for voting for it was they showed me data showing how dangerous some intersections were. I had a kid, a quad A kid who had been hit in one of the intersections. So it made sense to me that we would have this. And then when we rolled the program out, we identified 50 of the worst intersections, and meaning the, you know, where likely there would be, you know, cars running red lights and possible accidents. And we said, well, okay, we'll place cameras there. Well, we weren't able to place cameras there because we didn't own the poles. The county owned the poles. And we couldn't negotiate an agreement to put our cameras up on their poles, so we put them in other places. And so we weren't dealing with the most dangerous intersections. And then after that, what happened was when the initial cameras were up, after about a month or so, the company that was in charge of the camera system, Redflex, I think their name is.
Yeah, Redflex.
They came back to us in a meeting, and I got this firsthand from people in the meeting. I won't say anyone's names. They were disappointed about the outcomes. They didn't think they were making enough money. And so they asked us to do some things to the cameras, to do some things that would make it more profitable for them. And I'm going to say that. So this is one of the reasons why I changed my vote and began to be a critic of the program, because behind closed doors, many people would say, hey, what are we going to do about the money now that we're getting it?
When was this?
When was what?
When did this happen that they were sort of raising this idea that the cameras weren't profitable?
This is probably about a month after they had been installed and up. They came back to the city and complained about not generating enough revenue.
So we're going back years now?
Yes, yes.
Okay, yep. And the reason I ask that, Mr. Councilman, is because, you know, Mayor Warren is saying she wanted to study and make sure that her recommendations and her decision on this was based on evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Were you telling her for years, look, you know, regardless of whether they're reducing crashes, we're getting shook down to make more money off this?
And
I've
said this on the record. She's not the only person that I've said this to. I've said this to many people.
Okay, so I guess where I'm going with this.
Even when I went to go defend my own red light camera tickets for making a right on red, I said it on the record there.
How'd that go, by the way?
Well, I was guilty. I paid it.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying to you is, for some folks, it might have been about safety, but for a lot of folks, it was really about revenue generation.
And a lot of the tickets were right on red violations.
That's right. Most of them were people who did not come to a complete stop at the light and then turn right. So a driver like me at some point was a person that slowed down. If I didn't see any traffic, I kind of slowed down, not completely stopped,
yep,
and then turned right. Now, is that illegal? Yes. I'm not going to argue the basis of that. But what I'm saying to you, this isn't people blowing through lights the way that you might think it is. This is people who go over the white line, who don't come to a complete stop. You know, that kind of thing.
Okay, so let me ask you this, and I want Eamon to kind of follow up here, because as I said earlier, Eamon's organization has been making some of these concerns and points public really since the beginning. Is that fair, Eamon?
Yeah, no, they opposed it before it was installed.
Okay, and so I guess where I'm going with this, Mr. Councilman, is if this was your experience, that you're concerned that this was more about money and that there were direct indications that the company wanted more money, and you were expressing this to the mayor, did this take too long for this program
well,
to end?
Well, I actually, probably about a year ago, I actually asked, I subpoenaed all of the documentation related to the contract, their meetings. I could not find anything in the records that would suggest that what I said to you was said, other than what I was told by police officers who were in that meeting.
Okay.
So I didn't have a way to prove
okay
that this was the case. I can only go off of what the folks in the room told me occurred.
But do you think this took too long to come to this recommendation?
For me?
Yeah.
Yes. For me, yes.
Okay. Eamon, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's important to come back to what Adam was saying about the revenue generation. And when the mayor was here, she said they take in $3 million in tickets, but only about $800,000 to $1 million actually goes back to the city. And so that's, you know, 2/3 of the revenue that's generated, not even helping the city in terms of public works, which is deplorable and doesn't seem like an efficient system. And I would say that a lot of these have been instituted throughout the country to generate revenue. I mean, there's certainly been a safety argument, but this is really about money. And about that, the fact that cities are scrambling and trying to find ways to raise revenue.
That's
with,
right.
Yeah, you have issues with the tax base. You have the decline of revenue sharing from state and federal sources. I mean, there's just not a big enough pot for cities to run themselves. And so what ends up happening is these nickel and dime type programs that are on the backs of the poorest citizens. And that's why I'm really glad that this is ending. Because it, you know, if we want to be serious about fighting poverty, then we can't be making cities run on their backs.
And even to the point, now a lot of what I'm saying to you is on the public record somewhere at City Hall. There was a point where we weren't even identifying where the cameras were in certain neighborhoods, but would identify them in other neighborhoods. So to give you an example of that, the one that was on University, there was a sign that announced that there was a red light camera there. But then you go to the one that was on West Avenue. I think it's West Avenue
West
and Ames.
Yep.
There was no sign. And I had to argue for signage to just let people know that there was a light there, a camera light, like they did in other neighborhoods. And so it took them a while, but the signage went up. But you still had a number of cameras that didn't have signage on it. So you didn't even know that there was a camera there.
Before I jump back to your phone calls to help drive the rest of the hour, Mr. Councilman, earlier in the hour, I think the mayor and Eamon disagreed on how the cameras were set up. I mean, I don't want to misinterpret or misstate, but you felt that the cameras were placed in places where the citizens and the people who live there are less likely to push back. In other words, they weren't in the wealthier neighborhoods. And the mayor is saying, look, they were in the areas where we had the most T-bone accidents, and that's what it was.
Well, I'll put it this way. The intent was to put them in the most dangerous intersections. That's not what happened. And it didn't happen that way because many of those intersections, we did not own the poles.
Okay. Matt on Twitter says, if you didn't own the polls, why didn't the city of Rochester put up your own polls for cameras if the county wouldn't play along if safety was the real reason?
Because at that time, I don't have the real answer to that. All I can try to reflect on the fact of the matter is that they said we couldn't negotiate good terms with them. We decided to go to intersections where we had control of the polls. There was some politics being played between the mayor then, which was, I think, Duffy at that time, and the county exec, Maggie Brooks, who did not get along at this time. So there was some back and forth there. And so I don't think they were looking at trying to put up their own polls. I just think that they were trying to do something that still looked like we were trying to do something for public safety.
Okay. Eamon?
Yeah. So I guess I'm not trying to insinuate any evil intent on where they're placed. I think it's just in practice, we see these types of things happen, and it's just easier because there's less political will to take on, you know, the wealthier areas because you're going to get more pushback. I mean, you get pushback for every little sign and thing you try to do in the city. People are very controlling of their neighborhoods, and it's the neighborhoods that have the most challenges and need the most investment that then are put upon with something like a red camera light program where you're actually taking more money out of that community rather than, you know, putting in a park bench or something.
And I will say, after I complained about – what's your name? I'm sorry.
Eamon.
After I complained about what you're saying with the first cameras is when you began to see them in other neighborhoods. So I made the same assessment that you have. And when I made that assessment, then you saw cameras popping up in other places. So there was, in my mind, and I'm going to disagree with the mayor a little bit here, that people looked at particular neighborhoods and put them in certain places and then did not put them in other places in the beginning.
All right, let me grab Linda in Rochester on the phone who's been waiting. Go ahead, Linda.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that I thought in the beginning the purpose for the red light cameras was to deter people from breaking the law. I am a senior citizen on Social Security with no disposable income, yet I have had one red light ticket and had to pay it, but it also made me stop and think that I need to slow down and be more cautious going through an intersection. I don't think it would be a good idea to get rid of these cameras because, the people who can't afford it can't
That's not the only premise for getting rid of them. We're not seeing the safety that the cameras promised us. It's not making us any safer. In some intersections, it actually made us worse because you have people who attempt to beat the light and speed through it and end up getting a ticket or not getting the ticket, depending on if they beat the light or not. So it has not made us that much safer.
Yeah, and I think Adam was bringing this up earlier. We both got the same type of ticket, which was essentially for not stopping enough when you're turning on a right, you know? And so it's things that you would never get ticketed for ever without the presence of these cameras that is generating most of this revenue. It's not preventing these big head-on collisions. It's taking $50 from somebody who didn't come to a complete stop at a red light.
2 points on that, then. You go back to May. City engineer Jim McIntosh was quoted as saying, the city is seeing a reduction in crashes. And the city engineer said that in relation to the release of that study that the city commissioned, Councilman McFadden.
I disagreed with that.
And that seemed to be the city's point just in May, that we are, in fact, seeing it.
That was his point, and maybe some other people who were supportive of the program. That wasn't my point.
This is a big flip in 6 months, isn't it?
I will say this. I know, because, a lot of what I'm going to say is on the record. During that time, I talked to the mayor trying to convince her that this was not making us safer. I also talked to her about trying to come up with a way that people would not get booted. I don't know if you remember this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I thought that had an adverse impact, too, because those tickets, when they mount up, not only do you have to pay them, but they impact your credit report. So it's almost like a double penalty. Not only do I have to pay, now you're impacting my credit report. And if my credit score is impacted and I already live in an impoverished neighborhood, how is that really helping anyone?
Right. And this is the most regressive type of tax fee structure in terms of raising revenue, because $50 for somebody on a fixed income or in poverty is a lot of money, whereas $50 for a lawyer,
it's $50 if you pay it immediately.
Yeah, if you're lucky enough to, if you have that money, but you don't pay it, then the fee goes up. Then they may take away your license if you're on probation or something. Like, all these things start to spiral out of control, and it's a serious consequence for those people's lives.
Okay, and so to the callers like Linda, and I appreciate the phone call, Linda, and Wendy, who writes to us and says, red light cameras don't lie. Doesn't putting red light enforcement in the hands of police overburden police and possibly lead to more police-citizen confrontations? She says, P.S., I'm out $250 and I still support the red light cameras. To Wendy and Linda and many others, the point that our panelists are making is the evidence shows you cannot declaratively say they did improve safety.
That's right.
So first and foremost, the whole point was to improve safety, so they said. And we don't have enough evidence to even say that after 6 years.
I do know there was one camera in particular at Ford and Main Street that there was an actual problem with the camera. And there were a lot of people getting tickets who didn't fight the tickets that actually paid for tickets that they probably shouldn't have paid for. So there was an error in the camera sometime, too. So there are a number of things that were wrong with this program. It wasn't one of these blanket things where magically, we were a safer community and nobody was going to be T-boned.
And I have now several emails from listeners. I read one of them in the first half hour from a listener named Steve, who wrote and said that he agrees with the mayor on this, her reasoning for wanting to end the program. He just feels like you had all this information for years. If you're making it now, it looks political. It looks like you're going to run for re-election. Do you think that's unfair, City Council?
I do, because I do know that I know what my conversations were after our last vote on this, which was me saying to her, look, we got to get rid of this. This isn't working. And I know she told me, like she told the listeners, we have to look at this. We have to do a study in order for me to pull this back, because there are people who do want this program.
Sure. And we're hearing from some of them, but here's the difference, Stephen. I think, Steve, you're not the guy who emailed me, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, go ahead, Stephen.
I wanted to call and say that I support doing away with the red light cameras. It's funny that one of your guests just mentioned how Ford in West Maine, they had problems there. I've got many tickets there, and of course, I can't really fight them all that well. You have to go on a website, and then you see it. Anyway, I totally support doing away with it, and I just wanted to mention how in some places, these are underserved neighborhoods, if you stop in a crosswalk, you get ticketed. But sometimes those lines that show the crosswalk have faded over time. And so I don't know if it ever happened to me, but I could easily see it happening. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate that. We're seeing a lot from both sides. Here's Barbara's email, and let me read it again, because I think this is where some people just don't accept this idea that there is a problem with the cameras disproportionately impacting people in poverty. Barbara writes, "I think the red light cameras is a good idea. What is unlawful about getting a ticket for running a red light? It is the law. The police cannot be everywhere. I think the program should be increased and brought out here to the suburbs. I've heard what the mayor and others are saying, but there is a simple solution. If you cannot afford to pay the fine, do not run the red light." That's what Barbara writes.
What suburb is she from? We can talk to her town supervisor and they can have them. They can take ours.
Yeah, I mean, she can say if you can't afford to be poor, don't be poor. But that's not quite how it works. I think you have to have a human approach to this. And the reality is you're just increasing burdens on people who then it spirals into losing their jobs for some incarceration.
And there are a number of working class folks who can't afford the extra $50. It's not just poor folks that can't afford the $50. There are people who have decent jobs who are paying maybe private school tuition or college tuition or some other things where $50 really can put them behind. I mean, this isn't just a poor person problem.
And Jim on Twitter wanted to know what became of the situation where the city had to pay the red light company because the contract didn't meet minimum revenues. I think...
No. We didn't have that in the contract. So we didn't have...
So that was never part of the contract.
Yeah, no. It was in the contract that if we did not get enough money, that we did not have to pay additional fees to meet that. That was a part of the initial contract. I remember that like it was yesterday. So we did not have to pay anything extra. It was just that them coming to us saying, hey, this isn't profitable for us. This isn't the returns that we would like to see.
Okay. Bonnie in Rochester next up. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Yeah, hi. Couple things. One is that last year, the Green Party got some pamphlets together and passed them out to people in some of these neighborhoods. And I can tell you, you would have thought it was the most important issue in their lives because the response to eliminating was so great for the reasons that are, without going over it again, for the reasons that were being said. So there definitely was, a hardship on the part of people. The other thing I would say, though, is that, you know, there are issues when you start talking about walkable cities. You know, whether we want to keep using that term and just let it hang out there, the reality is that many people who are used to just using cars are not always sensitive to pedestrians. And I know there's a smart street plan, I think the city is thinking about it and other cities have it, in which all of this would be evaluated. In some places, there's a need for additional crossways. Sometimes the light signal doesn't work. Sometimes there's big delays and, you know, the light doesn't turn at all. So I think there's a number of things that could be done, and really an attitude on the part of people driving that pedestrian safety and walkable cities have more to mean than just a slogan or something we like that, we like the bicycles, but that's where it ends. So I'd like to see that really promoted more. At the same time, I think it is unfair and unjust to have people who can barely make their way through the month on money are responsible to a disproportionate for this situation.
So Bonnie, do you applaud the mayor?
I think they should be withdrawn. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Because you can't go around, you know, saying to people, well, this is, I know the fines were huge because, as was said earlier, some of these were accumulated fines too over something else that happened, and then they got and you know there were people who had to pay $1,000 or more, so it wasn't just small, you know, amounts, and they were really hurting. So you can't have that. But again, you also, as what I just said, there needs to be a real look at pedestrian safety in a real way, and need to talk to pedestrians who walk a lot. I walk a lot to be able to identify more how to deal with these situations in a more systematic way.
Okay, thanks, Bunny. Adam, what do you think?
Oh, I agree. And for me, when you talk about cities that are pedestrian friendly, I ride a bike a lot now. So I've been riding my bike for about 18 months, and that's given me a whole different perspective about traffic and how to drive my own car, just because I'm on the street with my bike. I had my Unity ride that goes from May to November, where we're riding every Thursday, and then I rode with another group on Saturdays, and then I rode every morning by myself. So for me, I get this argument that we need to look at our city a lot differently around pedestrian traffic and how we make things flow better.
Well, Wendy follows up just to say she wants to put a point on something. She says, you, and I assume she means the host and the panel, are not addressing the issue of the effect on police time and police community relations. She had written earlier to say police can't be everywhere. This is a tool to help them, and that this puts more strain on them. And
The funny thing is, when we were doing this initial contract, the pilot, I never once heard the police refer to it as a tool. Not one time. And I'm the chair of public safety. And I what were they doing before we had the cameras?
Yeah. I don't think
so. We would just go back to that. This was never, I've never heard someone say that this would be a drain on police officers. I think if you blow through a red light, I'm not talking about a rolling stop where you turn around. I think if you blow through a light, a red light, and an officer see you, they'll pull you over. They'll do that now, not just where the cameras are. Remember, we only have cameras in certain locations. So it would be the same as it is today.
Yeah, cops have more important things to do than babysit intersections. And I just don't think we're going to say, oh, well, now we need 10 cruisers camped out. It doesn't.
Whatever we did before the cameras, we'll go back to doing. The same way I tell my colleagues who question the revenue, whatever we did before the cameras, we'll go back to doing.
Wendy, I hope that answers your question. Jason in Rochester next up. Go ahead, Jason.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Sure.
I think, first off, I think we ought to give a shout-out to Lawrence Krieger, the lawyer who fought the red light cameras right from the beginning with lawsuits against, I don't know if it was against the city or the state, but he was a real champion for this. I don't know that his efforts ultimately have led to this outcome, but I think he deserves some.
I'm sure he popped a cork for this one, yes.
Yes, yes.
Oh, I saw his Facebook. He was, he took credit for
dancing
it.
Dancing in the end zone. Stand yes.
So a lot has been coming out in this conversation, and I'm glad that Councilman McFadden is being as forthright as he is about the what everyone has known from the beginning, that this was a revenue grab. But I'd like to put a finer point on it, because I think the fact that, I mean, it's one thing to say, well, we know that now, but I think it was clear from the beginning, and perhaps we can find some evidence for that with this question. And so it's a twofold question to the councilman, and that is it true that Redflex, which we now know is notorious for bribing the city of Chicago to get their cameras installed, is it true that they approached the city of Rochester with a solution in search of a problem, that is to say, as a revenue generator? And if that's not true, then would the council member please tell us who was it then who approached Redflex, and why did they approach them at all if a safety study hadn't even been done at that point?
Well, thank you, Jason. Go ahead.
That's interesting, because I'm going to try to recall as much as I can. There was another vendor at the table who also bidded on this. So this wasn't a situation, at least the way it was presented to me at the time. This wasn't a situation where Redflex came in and said, here's your problem and we're your solution and we're going to be the only one doing this. There was an RFP that was actually issued that. And I don't know what caused the RFP to be issued.
You know who in city government kind of drove that?
That came from the mayor's office.
Which, who was Bob Duffy at the time?
Yeah, that's right.
Bob Duffy.
And I know there were other vendors interested, because they contacted all of us, you know, pleading their case as to why they were better than the other company. For me, my introduction to to this as a council member was them showing us the 50 most dangerous intersections. And I had a kid that was impacted by this because she had been T-boned in a car, a sixth grader of mine. And for me, I was saying, well, I'm glad you're going to do something at the intersection because I've known of other accidents at the intersection. And ironically, today, the intersection still does not have a camera.
That intersection.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I bought the argument that these cameras would make us safer at the time because of the information that was shown to me.
And now you just got to say the evidence is not there.
Right.
Okay. Real quick here, Paul writes to the program and says, on the civil liberty side, he said, red light cameras do make errors. A friend of mine received a citation based on an incorrect license plate read that any human eye could see. Guilty until proven otherwise. Glad the program is being trashed. It could be trashed, Paul. We don't know. City Council has to decide. Adam, any final thoughts on what you expect to see from Council? Again, you said you don't know what's going to happen.
I don't. I know that we're going to have a public hearing as part of the proceedings for this. People have the right to come in and tell us what they think, whether or not it's working.
When's that hearing, you know?
It would be at the committee meeting, and because I'm bad with dates,
okay.
It would be the Thursday before the 20th of December.
Okay. All right. So people can weigh in. Eamon, some final thoughts from you on this.
Yeah, and I think the discussion we should also be having is what's going to be done to make up the revenue shortfall? Because if it's just a repetition of this type of, you know, fee structure, it's not a real improvement. So we have to be finding ways to be more equitable in how we're actually generating revenue in the city.
So that lost revenue can't be on the backs of the most impoverished people.
It shouldn't be shifted around in some way that's invisible. The red light cameras is a very visible representation of this, but there are other ways in terms of shaking down communities.
Okay, so I think that's something to follow. And we'll see. We may hit January, and if City Council decides to keep them, we'll see.
That would be interesting to see if if we vote to keep them after the mayor says that she doesn't want them. But I think she'll probably get her wishes.
All right, we shall see. City Councilman Adam McFadden, thank you for the time. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Eamon Scanlon from Metro Justice, the Alliance for Quality Education. Nice to see you, Eamon. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Evan.
Thanks to John Andrus, the engineer of the broadcast, and Megan Mack as the producer who does so much more than you will ever see to make this show go. I'm Evan Dawson. Hope to see you tomorrow, Friday, live broadcast of the Little Theater. You might have seen our reporting all week long on the state of the lack of teaching diversity in Rochester and the suburbs and in our rural areas everywhere you go. Tomorrow, 2 hours of live conversation on that. Join us, rain, snow, or shine, at the Little Theater. See you there tomorrow.